Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Vasquez beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net! Romel Kielco now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantarita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Again, it is the opener. It is the 25th season of Major League Soccer this weekend. You get down to BBVA Stadium. Houston Dynamo taking on the LA Galaxy. Debut of Tob Ramos in Major League Soccer. Debut of Chicharito. This is a 2:30 kickoff, and there are still tickets available. Again, you go to HoustonDynamo.com. And, of course, we thank our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, for this interview with Tab. Tab, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on, Glenn.
Well, listen, I'm sure you're glad to be back in town. That's number one, right?
Yeah, it's been, we were away for about 9 or 10 days, so it's always good to come back. You know, players can get back to their families and all that stuff, so I'm glad everybody's back to be back in Houston.
All right, the realization that we're only a couple of days out now from the start of the 25th season of Major League Soccer, you participated as a player. Now you're going to be getting your first ever match under your belt. Talk about where you are right now, thinking about this run-up to this game against the Galaxy.
Personally, good. I mean, I'm just working every day, you know, like every other coach, and I'm excited about getting started, as I think it would be normal any season, but obviously this is my first season with the Dynamo, so I'm, you know, maybe a little bit more excited this year than I would be any other time. But I'm really focused on the game and trying to figure out how we're going to win this one.
Tab Ramos joining us, the manager of the Houston Dynamo. In your estimation, just give us a good overview of how preseason went and some of the pros and cons of it.
Let's start with the cons first. I think the cons, I would just only say, you know, the couple of injuries that we suffered. Obviously a few setbacks for a couple guys, you know, that maybe take a little longer to come back. But everything else was really positive. I felt like we pushed the players physically as much as we could push them. We were able to get them, you know, 3 games in the last 8 days before we left to come back to Houston yesterday. And I feel like we tactically were able to get all the assignments that we set out for ourselves before we started the preseason as accomplished at this point. So we're very comfortable with where we are.
Take me into Saturday, because I think a lot of people here didn't realize that the Dynamo played 2 games that day, and there were some guys that played minutes in both games, and you're doing different things as a coach and maybe overloading certain guys a little bit fitness-wise and doing your thing. Just explain to us about the OKC energy game and then, of course, the crew game.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really even think of it. You know, I mean, this is, this preseason, you know, at the end of the day, we're preparing our players physically and tactically. You know, you try some different stuff at different times that you may be able to use during the season. Different formations, different alignments, that type of thing. And then physically, different teams push different players at different times. On Wednesday, we played RSL, and RSL also played 2 games that day, and we only played one. So we had the advantage of physically having everyone available for that game and for them to change their lineup around. So that's a game we won 4-0. And maybe that doesn't also reflect where RSL is at this time. So I think every, as far as preseason is concerned, every coach is on a different page. Everyone's trying different things at different points of the preseason. So I think you can never read much into it.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking to Todd Ramos, the manager of the Houston Dynamo. Again, the Dynamo in action against the LA Galaxy. What a nice time this is. 2:30 in the afternoon on Saturday. A couple thousand seats still available. HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. You know, there's only one opener every season, and this is your chance to be at this game and support the Dynamo. Let's go to some of the cons you mentioned. You know, Albert Delisa hasn't been playing much. I saw Darwin get some minutes. Are there some concerns about them potentially being available on Saturday?
There's always concerns. Darwin is he's in a good place physically now in terms of his injury. So, you know, I think he's you know, let's just say 100%. But there's always a concern, you know, when you're coming off an injury of, you know, number one, physically where you are in terms of his fitness, obviously, and then whether, you know, not being 100% physically, whether that can at some point set you back. So we have to monitor minutes. We have to make sure that we bring, you know, Darwin is obviously going to be a very important player this year for us. And I think, you know, it would be short-sighted of us to just think about this Saturday as, you know, as the final. You know, we have to make sure that we do the right thing this Saturday and think that, you know, if we feel that Darwin's ready to play 90 minutes this Saturday, then that's what he'll play. And if we feel that maybe that's putting him in danger of stretching the situation a little bit too much, then we'll plan accordingly. But at this point, we have to think for the whole season and not just for Saturday. And I would say the same thing goes for Albert. So we've been taking it slow with him a little bit more on purpose because we obviously want to make sure that our players, if they're injured at all, especially this time of year, that we don't push at all by bringing anybody back early. That would be a big mistake because then you set yourself back another, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. So we feel good about where we are. We feel good about, you know, other guys that potentially get opportunities as well if that's what we decide to go with at the end of the week. Everybody's going to have to play their part this year. So, I have no worries.
Tom Ramos joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. I think sometimes the general public doesn't realize how important these types of decisions are, even at this point when, you know, you haven't kicked a ball yet here, in the 25th season of Major League Soccer.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you have to have a long-term plan. And of course, we know that, you know, we want to win this Saturday, and so we're going to do all we can to win this Saturday, just like every Saturday. But there's also that secondary planning that, you know, you have to plan for the full season and think about how, you know, something that you do this Saturday will affect you for the next 3, 4, 5 games. And so we have to do both at the same time. But, you know, I feel confident that, you know, we obviously have a lot of professional players here who are ready to go and everybody waiting for an opportunity. And so I think whoever we pick, whoever is, I feel, you know, lucky enough to be one of the 11 to be on the field on Saturday, I think we'll give everything.
Yeah, you've got some great competition going on amongst this team in preseason, it seems to me, from the outside.
Yeah, we've tried many different combinations. We have players who can play, fortunately, in many different positions. Obviously, you know, Albert being more of a specific type of player who has a strength in a certain position, and that's, you know, that winger position is where he can hurt teams the most. But other than that, a lot of the other players can fit into many different roles. And so, you know, we feel like, you know, it's going to be time for, you know, for the players to step up, and whoever gets a chance, I think they're going to do a great job.
Todd Ramos joining us. Let's go to Alejandro Fuenmayor. The young Venezuelan came in highly touted. We have seen some wonderful moments from him as a young player. You know, good in the air, strong, powerful, good feet. Where do you see him this year, and how important could he be to this team in the center back position?
Well, I mean, he's getting to that age now where, you know, you know, especially when you think about young players, they're, you know, before you know it, they're not so young anymore. And I think in this case, with Alejandro, I know he's been at the club for a little while now. And I think this is a year where he has to be fighting for a position. Saturday, we ran into a little bit of the issue that obviously Kiki was sick. So Kiki couldn't participate, and we had already planned for Alejandro to play 60 minutes in the morning. So he ended up playing, you know, 60 minutes in the morning, and then we threw him into the game in the afternoon as well, because we were, you know, with Victor's injury, we also didn't have Victor, so we were really thin on the, in the you know, center back position, and so we had to throw him in also. So he's fighting through all the challenges. You know, he's a strong kid mentally, and I think that this year has to be a big year for him.
Now let's go back to Victor Cabrera, who you mentioned, Tab, and also Kiki. How are they health wise? Are they going to be okay come weekend for selection? Still to be determined.
Kiki Kiki. The latest I heard today, he was feeling much better, and so I think he'll be in for full training tomorrow. So that should be good news for us.
Good.
Victor, we're going to have to play day by day right now. We don't know as the week advances where we're going to be, but we feel pretty confident at this point that Kiki will be available for Saturday.
Now, I know you favor the 4-3-3, and I don't want to get into, you know, tactics, but it is your starting point. It is what you like to base your game off, and a pressing game. Are there times this year you think you're going to have to slightly alter that sort of a setup and the ideas behind it based on individuals? In other words, ahead of this game on LA, if you potentially don't have an Albert Delisa and Darwin Quintero, the way you play it may be different. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. And we've already trained playing in different systems. So I wanted to make sure that the players knew. And this is why the preseason is so important, because you don't want the players to be reacting to your changes during the season. I feel that you never want your players to feel like you are reacting to the last result, that everything is part of a plan. So, and because of that, we already showed players, you know, playing in a 3-5-2 and a 4-2-3-1. So we've worked on a couple different things already to make sure that if at some point we have to implement something different because either the opponent dictates it or a result at a certain time, or whether it's during the game because of a red card, or whether it's because we just feel like, as you mentioned, because of the players we have available that day, we fit into something different, then we won't be afraid to do it. We've already tried a few things in preseason to make sure it's not a surprise to anyone. And so, I wish we would have had a little bit more time, maybe a week and a half or two more in the preseason to get used to, you know, different things. But we certainly have introduced different scenarios already.
He's Dynamo manager Tab Ramos. Again, the Dynamo LA Galaxy Saturday, 2:30 p.m. HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. It's going to be a great opener. Get down to BBVA Stadium and support the Dynamo. At what point, and look, we've heard throughout Major League Soccer, there's a number of teams that have guys injured here in preseason. It just kind of goes along with the territory. At what point do you begin to focus a little bit more on L.A. and maybe some of the tendencies of Guillermo Barros-Galotto's team?
Oh, well, we've already, tomorrow morning, the team will get the full scouting report. The plan is that every week we don't even have one training session without already thinking about the next opponent. So tomorrow, by the time we step on the field at 10:15, the players will already have seen the full scouting report on the LA Galaxy.
Tab, for you, a guy that helped to launch this league as a player and back in the day with the Metro Stars, and to be here into the 25th season now, did you ever think it could be at this level with infrastructure and investment and all these different things, or did you expect it to be here?
Well, first of all, I'd never really picture myself being this old. That's number one. But after that, I have to say, you know, I'm really happy about where the league is, about, you know, the professional teams that we have, the great environments that we have for all the players in the league, and the steps that the league is taking, you know, literally month to month, because I already feel like this league is already different than when I signed in October. The investment that has been made by clubs, what Miami has done, with the commitment that LA continues to make, the commitment that LAFC continues to make, Kansas City's commitment this year. There's a lot of clubs that have already changed the face of the league already just going into this year from last year. So, yeah, there's a lot of change. I think it's all for the good. And I'm you know, I'm very happy to certainly be part of it.
Last one before we let you go. And again, thank you. And yeah, it's exciting. By the way, you don't look very old, so you're okay. And that's part of the game. So you're doing well in that category.
I appreciate that.
You're doing well in that category. Just talk about the Nico LeMoynes and maybe some of the younger guys that have had an opportunity and where you see them and maybe Marcelo Palomino. And if these are guys that this year could contribute to this team.
These are, yeah, so let's start from the top there because Nico LeMoyne is the oldest of all the young players that we have, believe it or not, and he's just 19. So Nico is has been with the first team the whole preseason. He has done quite well. I think he's a good winger. He's a very good 1v1 player who I think, you know, will do great when he gets this opportunity. And I think throughout this year, he'll have to earn this opportunity, not just by training well here, but by playing well at RGV and making a difference there. And his opportunity hopefully will come at some point because he has that kind of quality. Marcelo Palomino, I think he's ready to step into the field. So it's a matter of just waiting for his opportunity, but he's had a great preseason. He's only 18. We've had, we've had Josh Hallenberger, who's a really fast winger that we've had on our U19s in the academy. He's done the full preseason with us. He's just 17. And then we've had Danny Rios, which most people know. He's a 16-year-old who's done well with us, as well as Juan Casilla, who's only 15 and has done the preseason with us. So I feel good about all these, in particular these five young players, because they certainly did more than just hold their own through preseason.
Boy, that's wonderful news. And listen, I know you're a big believer in youth. So if there was ever a time youth is going to get opportunity, I would believe it's under your regime.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, those opportunities, as I always say, and I have this sort of my disclaimer, they have to be earned. I think the talent is there, and these players are hard workers. So I am hoping that this year, you know, hopefully all of them can contribute, but if not all, at least some of them can contribute already this year.
Well, Tab, listen, thank you so much. You know, I wish the show was a little bit closer to game time on Saturday, but we'll wish you good luck in your opener as the manager of the Dynamo against LA. And as always, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing great ideas about the team to our listeners.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I hope to see everybody at the game on Saturday.
There you go. Tab Ramos, Dynamo coach, will take the Dynamo into action here in the 25th season of Major League Soccer on Saturday. 2:30 is the kickoff against the LA Galaxy, Chicharito. Tickets still available, HoustonDynamo.com. We're going to take a break. It's a John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm break.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Quick moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are presenting sponsors of this show. This is how we get on the air. John is a big soccer fan. He's also the presenting sponsor of our show in Austin, Texas, as well, Soccer Matters on the Horn. The Daspit Law Firm, you call 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Whether you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, nobody wants this to happen, but you do need representation. It's the Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit. He is the man to call at DaspitLaw.com and at 713-322-HURT. 10 years he's been covering the sport of soccer in the LA Galaxy, 23 years overall for the LA Times. He's Kevin Baxter. He joins us now. Kevin, thank you so much for being on the program tonight.
Thanks for giving me a call.
All right, so let's just start off. How is the Chicharito phenomenon out in Los Angeles right now around the Galaxy?
You know what? That's a question that gets asked here every year. I mean, think about just the 10 years I've been doing it. I came onto a team that had David Beckham and Landon Donovan, and then they added, since then, they added Robbie Keane, and then it was Steven Gerrard and Giovanni Dos Santos, then Jonathan Dos Santos, and then all of a sudden Zlatan Ibrahimovic came, and now Chicharito. People here think, I just talked to Kobe Jones the other day, who, by the way, played for the Galaxy as well. He thinks that Chicharito may be the second most important signing in MLS history, behind only David Beckham. And he says that because you're getting an in his prime Mexican national team player. Remember, the leading scorer in the history of the Mexican national team. So he brings the talent to compete in MLS, and he's looked really good in the preseason. Even though he's only scored one goal, he's played very well. So he's in his prime. He's extremely marketable, very handsome, good-looking guy, bilingual, a lot of personality. He ticks all those boxes. I mean, you know, Southern California is an area with 6 million Mexican or Mexican-Americans watch a lot of Liga MX soccer, and MLS is trying to get them over. This is what MLS has been trying to do forever. This is what the Chivas USA experiment was all about. This was what Giovanni Dos Santos and before him Cuauhtemoc Blanco and Rafa Marquez, that's what all these players were supposed to do. Carlos Vela has had some success with LAFC, but as far as personality and Q ratings and all that stuff, Chicharito knocks it out of the park. So this is a very important signing. Galaxy, by the way, have already increased season ticket sales by 10%. They had a decline in attendance last year with Zlatan, so already heading in the right direction.
Ticket prices go up with Chicharito?
No, as far as I know, I mean, there might have been a slight increase for, the whatever cost of living, whatever you call it, inflation. But as far as I know, the ticket prices remain the same. The Galaxy have never done, they've always done very well with walk-ups. Last year, their season ticket base was $10,500. That may sound good, but when you across town, LAFC had to cap theirs at $17,500, so same market, 12 miles apart. But the LA Galaxy have averaged 22,000 plus a game, a lot of walk-up people. That will increase this season. I expect the first probably five or six games at least to sell out as people want to come out and sample Chicharito and the excitement that he brings. To answer your question, no, I don't believe they have increased ticket prices, but I believe they're going to do very well, at least at the beginning of the season. The problem is the Galaxy have to win. I mean, I think this is true in any sport, but people will come out and sample Chicharito as they did with Zlatan. But even though the Galaxy made the playoffs last year and Zlatan scored 30 goals, as we mentioned, 5% decrease in attendance. Why? Well, the Galaxy were 16-15. They lost 15 games. Fans were not interested in coming out and seeing a 500 team, even if it did make the playoffs.
He's Kevin Baxter, 10 years. He's been covering the LA Galaxy. So I'm going to take a little different spin here on Chicharito because there is no question commercially he's going to be a big success. He's going to boost attendance in all markets, including here in Houston. No question about it. He'll boost the walk up here on Saturday afternoon. But if he does not score goals in Major League Soccer, he will get absolutely vilified by the Mexican press, as you know. How much pressure do you think is on him, especially after a 30-goal scorer is leaving in Zlatan? And how do you think that's going to be handled by him?
Well, we've heard about the pressure that's supposed to be coming from the Mexican press, and it really didn't affect Carlos Vela. And Carlos Vela, when he came, and that's the closest thing I think we have in L.A., Giovanni Dos Santos was here as well, but Carlos Vela being the big star at LAFC, and scored a league record 34 goals last season. He addressed it head on. His very first press conference here, he said, look, in Mexico they told me I shouldn't go to Spain and play, and then they told me I should go to MLS, and I went to MLS, and they told me I shouldn't go there. So basically, I think what he's saying is a lot of the Mexican players have just learned to dismiss the Mexican press and not really worry too much about what they're saying. As far as Chicharito goes with Zlatan, no one's compared the two. I mean, it's interesting. We compare them, I think, from the box office and from the hype standpoint. But as far as on the field, they're two different players. A lot of people seem to think that the Galaxy, and it's looked this way in the preseason too, by the way, the Galaxy will be a much better team, emphasis on the word team, with Chicharito. He does things that Zlatan doesn't do. He tracks back on defense. He plays defense. He runs a lot. He's a lot faster than you think he is, by the way. He had a couple of long runs this weekend, and we were very impressed by how quick he was. He does things differently. He's a much better teammate, a much better team player. So the comparisons to Zlatan really don't fit. Zlatan was a guy that stayed in the box, stayed down on the offensive end, didn't really play much defense, and demanded the ball. Chicharito is much more of a team player. Having said that, I think Chicharito's good for 12 to 15 goals. That's kind of my prediction. Other people say, you know, be a little bit more, maybe in the 20 goal range. He's certainly not going to get close to 30, but the Galaxy will be a better team because Chicharito, of the way he plays, he makes them better. Also, one thing that Zlatan didn't have, an advantage Chicharito will have, is a full season with Christian Pavon. He's the Argentine World Cup player the Galaxy got at the end of last season. He's a very dynamic player. He's very good at feeding the ball into the box. He and Chicharito are already developing some chemistry. I expect those two guys to really hook up and have a good season, but you could see Pavon actually be the guy who may score more goals than Chicharito, and yet the Galaxy will be better. So if you're looking at straight numbers, how many goals, how many assists does Chicharito have, I think maybe some people in Mexico just look at the numbers. They will be disappointed, but I think the Galaxy team will be better. And remember, for Chicharito, this is a guy who his last great season was 2017 when he was at Bayer Leverkusen. Then he went to West Ham, in and out of the lineup, didn't play much, went to Sevilla, didn't play. So, you know, getting regular playing time is a victory for him. I don't know that he's going to look at the stats necessarily. He's going to look at how many minutes he played.
No, guaranteed. But after all, he is a goal scorer. We're talking to Kevin Baxter of the LA Times, and he can score 12 to 15 if they're winning, and the record is going to be inducively better than the Zlatan era. Now, you talked about Pavon, and Chicharito is a guy that is dependent upon service. Who else could provide that service? Is it Alexander Katai? Who do you think it is, Kevin?
That's who they want, Alexander Katai. He has had a very difficult preseason. The penultimate game of the preseason, he got red carded out in about the 30th minute. That wasn't the way he wanted to prepare for the regular season. And then the last game, Chicharito and Pavon, eight guys, including Chicharito and Pavon, went 90 minutes. Katai came out in the 65th minute and looked pretty bad before he came out. We're uncertain whether maybe he had a cold or a lingering injury that no one's talked about, but he certainly hasn't been the offensive presence that they expected him to be, and that could be a real problem for the Galaxy because they are very thin up front. They don't have a lot of depth. After Katai and Pavon, it's basically a lot of academy or near-academy kids. Sebastian Legette in the midfield may be forced to play a little bit more of a service role. Jonathan Dos Santos can do that, but what they're really looking forward is to play a 4-3-3 with Katai on one wing and Pavon on the other and Chicharito getting all the service in the middle. It looks like the Galaxy going to be leaning real heavy to the right side until Katai can figure things out.
This is great stuff, Kevin. We thank you so much for all this insight into the LA Galaxy heading into this one, and thank you very much for coming on the program tonight. Safe travels to Houston.
Well, thanks for having me, and I'll see you at the game on Saturday.
You got it. That's Kevin Baxter, LA Times there, and he's the beat writer for the LA Galaxy. He's in and around Chicharito right now, gave us some great insight there. And again, it's the Dynamo and LA Galaxy. 2:30 is the kickoff, BBVA Stadium. You can get tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Still some available. We'll take a break here. As we go to break, we just remind you about Hugh O'Connor's, 7620 Katy Freeway, Marquee Entertainment Center. That's where it is. 18 TVs, a big screen. It's the home of the Houston Liverpool supporters group. And by the way, they're happy again today after the 3-2 win over West Ham. We'll take a break. We've got more to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on here tonight. A quick moment here for our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Now, John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. You go to DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. Good news is they are bilingual. Nobody wants to get in an accident, but if you do, you got to have representation. Car, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. You get in an accident, the Daspit Law Firm has you covered. They're going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. You'll get the representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. And as I said last week, I was at Old Trafford, and John Daspit of the Daspit Law Firm in December was at Stamford Bridge watching Chelsea. So there you go. That's a good one. All right. So this is a segment here that we're devoting to the 25th season of Major League Soccer. And we've all seen things change quite dramatically. Tonight, a great guest. I would call him a personal friend, too. We'll see if he agrees with that. He is Dave Durr, the former coach of the Dallas Burn. Dave, thank you for coming on.
Well, I'll be glad to admit that, Glenn. personal friend, I definitely can swing that way.
Well, you just did it in public, so, you know, it's on record now. So, anyway. But the first thing...
Too much history not to be friends, sir.
Yeah, no. Those were great times. So the first thing I'm going to say to you is, and just give you a general question here, did you ever think the growth would get to where it is now with infrastructure investment? Is this still something you kind of shake your head at and go, wow, this is incredible? The league has doubled in size. It continues to grow. Infrastructure investment, on and on.
Yeah, I think I'd probably have to answer that in two ways. I mean, I was always a big believer in the game making great strides in this country. And when we were first in the league, I thought it would happen faster. And then I've been not only pleasantly surprised, but just, you know, the movement that the league has made and really investing in the game. I think at the beginning they were kind of playing show me the money and then we'll make the investment. And I think now they've taken much more risk and are willing to do more grandiose things, which I think has made the league take off. And I think there's really no end in sight. I think it's one of the most exciting professional sports there is out there as far as growth and where it has to go.
Talking to Dave Durr, was the coach of the Dallas Burn from 94 to 2000. He won a Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup there over D.C. United. And this was back in the days of the Cotton Bowl. And I want you to take me back to the Cotton Bowl and you know, just the wonderful environment that was down there, because that's where I was cutting my teeth as a broadcaster. And there was just a wonderful sort of festive, fun feel. And there certainly was a ton of Hispanic support for the Dallas Burn back then.
Absolutely. And I think really that was something that Billy Hicks, the former general manager at the Burn, he really prided himself on getting into the Hispanic community. And of course the location of the Cotton Bowl, there wasn't a better playing surface in the league, and the location was really perfect for the Hispanic community. In fact, the fact that they didn't hire a Hispanic coach surprised me, but we ended up getting very close in that community, and it's something that I was a big believer in. I loved the South American game and the Latin game, and so I was very proud to coach there, and it was just a great community experience, really. Back then, you know, not everybody had their own stadium, so we had one of the best venues that there was in the league.
Talking to Dave Durr, former coach of the Dallas Burn. This is a part of a segment that we're going to continue to do about the 25th season of Major League Soccer. So if you look at MLS now, Pulido with Sporting Kansas City, Pizarro now down at Inter Miami under Diego Alonso, Chicharito in L.A., Vela with LAFC. Now, you were one of the first coaches to really coach in MLS what is a legendary Mexican star, the legendary Mexican star at the time, Hugo Sanchez. So you were a young coach at this time, no question about it. What was it like coaching Hugo, and how did you approach that, knowing, you know, that you're coaching a guy who was a legendary goal scorer in Spain with Real Madrid?
Well, you know, it was a great challenge and a great honor, to be honest. And he had a reputation of being, I'll just be nice and say, difficult to deal with in locker rooms and in the media. So we didn't really know what to expect when Hugo came in. And I'll tell you a quick story. Coach Cordoba, who was my assistant coach, and I, Hugo came in about 8 games into the season, and we were actually playing very well. And I think we had like a 6-2 record. Hugo decided to take an extra week's vacation and come in the day before the first match. And so we decided not to start Hugo, which I'm sure you can understand in the Spanish media was not a popular decision or in the, at the gate. But we had a talk with Hugo and just said, you know, that this team's playing well, and if we want to keep the respect from our players, we've got to do what's right for the team. Because he hadn't even trained with the team. And I just remember having to tell him that in person. We went and met him at his hotel. You know, our guys would usually stay at the, you know, Holiday Inn, and he stayed at the Grand Kapitsky, which just showed you the difference between his level of player and what we had coming in usually. But it was a great experience, and he always respected us, I think, for making that decision. And actually came out when he was the coach in Mexico after his playing career and was very respectful about how he spoke about Cacho and I. So I had nothing but the greatest respect for his professionalism. He always treated me first class. So, you know, my experience wasn't the same as what I had heard before he came in.
Talking to Dave Durr, I would say that was a masterstroke, because if you had just let him come in and played, it would have been potentially deemed as a real pander to him, and maybe he thinks, you know, I can do anything I want now, and you kind of drew the line there.
Well, I was always kind of a player's manager, whatever that means to people, but I think that it was more important to me, the other players, and if we would have played him, you know, when he hadn't trained and when we were playing well, it would have meant he had a different set of rules than the rest of our team. And that's not a way that you want to have in the locker room with the rest of the team, as you know.
Dave Durr will be going back to Dallas. You are going to, I don't know if you know this, but I think you know this. You do know you're going back to Dallas to celebrate the 25th season. But do you know that you're scarving the Lamar Hunt statue that's outside the stadium?
I do know that.
Okay.
You know, I think I'm actually taking a penalty kick at halftime as well. So I don't think they realize
I have
14 knee surgeries, but that's going to be funny. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, actually. And it was a very, very kind and special gesture to both me and my wife that they brought us back in for that event. We're pretty excited about it.
Dave Durr joining us here. Now, there's another part of your career I want to tap into, and that's the APSL and the Colorado Foxes, which in 91 to 94, that's really the top pro league in the United States. You win two titles there, and then a lot of those guys end up in Major League Soccer. So, again, it kind of emphasizes how important some of these leagues were, you know, that kept trying and, you know, had its problems and, you know, paychecks would bounce. You know, trust me, I've had a few experiences with that in the 80s. But the fact that people kept trying was a good thing. And that Colorado Foxes era was a good one with a lot of good name players.
It really was. And it was a special group. And as you said, I think the proof of that was really how many of those players ended up playing and actually being stalwarts in MLS. You know, one of the things I'm most proud of is that from my Burn teams, there's eight guys coaching in the MLS ranks or as acting as general managers right now. A lot of those guys even came from the Foxes days. And so, you know, I had brought Ted Eck and Brian Ains and Mark Santel to those Burn teams from the Foxes. And they were stars on those Burn teams. So it was a good bunch. And back then the league was so consolidated that between us, the old San Francisco Bay Blackhawks and the Tampa Bay Rowdies, it was basically the national team. And we had Balboa and Robin Fraser and Ted Eck and guys that were, you know, San Francisco had Eric Winalda. There was a lot of national team names playing on those three teams, and they were always vying for championships.
Yeah, not a lot of choices back then. All right, so when you look at Major League Soccer this year and sort of the quality of play in comparison to 96, how do you compare it?
Wow, that's a tough one. I've been asked that actually a lot of times. I'm not sure I have a great answer. I think there are parts of those 96 teams that were really special and the top teams I think could compete in almost any era. But the players are quicker, faster, smarter. There's more youth in the game right now, which I think is awesome. We're they're acquiring better international players that are more in their prime. So I think that's an important part of how the league's improved. And the standard is much higher. And, of course, now there's a lot more teams. So there's probably a bigger gap from first to last than there used to be. But there's also more top teams. So you have those competitive games. And then you have to add that MLS is now starting to compete in Champions League and doing some things with the interleague play between Liga MX that are just creating better competition for those players, and they're improving with that. So I think the product's better. I'll say the coaching's better, even though I have to say that with kind of choke myself a little because I thought the coaches were fantastic in our era. But, we had to deal with a lot different adversity than they have to deal with now.
Talking to Dave Durr, last question before I let you go, Dave, and of course you've been involved with player development throughout. You were an assistant coach on the under-20 national team. You're still involved in player development now with the Associated Soccer Group. You are a co-host of the Soccer Guys show that's out of Florida and is podcasted with Andy Warner. Are you concerned for the American player in this league from the standpoint of all the investment that's being made in young foreign players? Does the needle need to move a little bit back towards the American player, or are you okay with where it is right now?
Well, I'm never okay with where it is because there's always ways to get better. You know that. And I think that I am concerned that, where the development of our American players come in. Saying that, I think that, there's a natural evolution to this league, just like any league, and you got to remember how young this league is compared to other countries. So I think you saw a point in other countries where they started forcing a certain number of under 23s on the roster from their country to improve their national pool. I think those are next steps, just as one example of this league, that are going to have to happen as the league grows. I think the quality of the league is most paramount right now to improve. Proving, the fan base and what people enjoy. But there's going to be a point in time where there has to be a push for the American player in an American domestic league. And I think that that's going to happen, hopefully in my lifetime, but I'm thinking it's going to happen pretty soon.
Dave, thank you so much for your time. By the way, send me video of that penalty kick. I'd like to post that out to the world once that's done.
Well, hopefully I don't go to the hospital right after that.
Congratulations on the honor. It's well-deserved, and I thank you for coming on the program.
Appreciate you having me on.
All right. That's the one and only Dave Durr, 4 years the coach of the Dallas Burn back in the heyday in the beginning of Major League Soccer. He was one of only 10 coaches at that time. It was a 10-team league. And if you go back to 2006 and 2007, when the Dynamo won the titles here in Houston, it was still only a 12-team league. It's remarkable, the growth. So that does it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Continue to look for that 25th season MLS feature in shows here in the near future. Again, podcastarena.com for all the coverage of this show, iTunes as well. And as always, a big thank you to Andrew Carlson producing, Trey stepping in there for a bit as well. And then he's like a holding midfielder. You got to have him on your team, Victor Ariza, as well, for all his support of the program. Until next week, just remember that soccer matters. On behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis.
ESPN 97.5.